I am so fired up today. I have Jordan Darling in the house. He is a guy that's built this incredible company, and we'll go through his story, but it really, for me, it sort of marks my entry into what I'll call angel investing. And kind of, you know, I did some investing prior, but until I met Jordan, I didn't really, I think that's when I started getting hooked on the idea of angel investing. How you doing, Jordan?
Good, Mark. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Now, you built this incredible company. Let's talk about Freeform, and now it's part of Nicola. So walk us through it a little bit, if you don't mind.
So probably 2014, I had this idea of making watercraft better. The focus was around manufacturing. So I saw a problem with how personal watercrafts were built. It was unhealthy for those building the watercraft and the manufacturing process. That's fiberglass. And saw an opportunity to do better for the manufacturers, but also in the end, make a better product. So personal watercraft traditionally made out of fiberglass, they don't really have a lot of impact strength. They don't last very long. They're not appealing after they've been beached several times. So we saw this as an opportunity to make watercraft better, which was inventing a new manufacturing process that used plastic, so fully recyclable plastic, and an internal metal chassis structure that gave the watercraft rigidity and a unique dynamic. So for us, the whole premise of this company was around manufacturing. It was just to make something better. We had a lot of IP that is now all granted today. And as we continue to go through that process, we noticed that there was another glaring opportunity in front of us.
I'm going to just jump in. IP is intellectual property.
Yes.
So you basically had it protected so people couldn't steal your ideas.
Correct. Right? Yeah. So since this was such a big opportunity, we knew other manufacturers would want this. So we wanted to make sure we had strong patents around everything that we were creating. So as we continue to grow as a company, if people saw as much value in this as we did, it was an opportunity for us to exit, partner with them, or do something bigger. So from that opportunity, we saw that, you know, there's an emissions problem in the world of power sport vehicles, specifically
right.
marine vehicles. Mm-hmm. And on the water, you can see your impact much greater than you can on land. So what we wanted to do at Freeform is create the world's first electric personal watercraft. Mm. And we did that in 2017.
Yeah, that was exciting. I remember that was sort of a turning point when that, I don't know if it was an epiphany, but when you made the decision to do that and become the first electric jet ski, right, on the market. And it really never made it to market, right? It didn't. What happened?
So, yeah, it was definitely a pivot. We just saw this opportunity, and we wanted to put both feet in and go as fast as we can to make this happen because we felt we were primed to do it faster than anyone else. And at the same time, you know, my goal was always to change, you know, the watercraft industry, whether it was in manufacturing technology or now it was in hulls, or sorry, in electric powertrain. So once we did that, there was obviously some large hype. We had some marketing. We had a lot of good press. We attended several different events, and everyone was kind of hearing and knowing about us as far as the electric watercraft company. And we were raising our Series A round of funding. So this was the funds that we were going to use to bring this product to market. We had pre-orders, but we really didn't have that large launch yet. We were just preparing for it, raising our funds. And various suitors, if you will, various other large companies were starting to contact us because they were interested in what we're doing. One was a large OEM in the power sports business, and they were interested in a cash acquisition. And then there was another company that was very, very unique, and it's this company I never even heard of, called Nicola Motor Company. And when I heard from that company, it was, this is interesting. This is something different. I wanted to learn more.
Why? So I want to walk back through that time because I remember you made this great video, and it was like, you guys spent like 30, 40 grand on a video. I don't know, some ungodly amount. And I'm like, Jordan, I don't know if I would do this. Great video. It was cool. But I thought, man, you're sitting here in a company. A lot of companies go out of business in these early stages, and you're spending all this money on a video that's going to hype you. I was really skeptical at that time. But then it started working. But then Nicola comes in, and obviously the founder is different in many ways. Was that a part of it?
It was. So I looked at the opportunity I had with this large company and said, is that something I want to do? Do I want to go work for this large organization that's not a nimble startup, that's not, their goal is not to change the world. Their goal is just to have a good bottom line. And for me, yes, it would have been a quick exit, money in the bank, but that wasn't my goal. And when I met Trevor Milton, the CEO of Nikola Motor Company, you could tell this guy was different. His goal wasn't to, you know, make a bunch of money. His goal was to truly change the world. And when he probably told this to most people, they thought he was crazy. But for me, I saw it in Trevor that this guy is the real deal, and he is going to change the world, and he's not going to let anyone stop him. And I frankly saw it as an opportunity. This is something bigger than anything I'll be able to create or anything that I have created. And it was at the point where they had 20 employees at this small startup in Salt Lake City, Utah. So I felt that, you know, if I'm going to do something, I want to have the opportunity to change the world and mm-hmm. and be able to have the leverage and the backing for my product. This is the opportunity.
Okay, so they only had 20 employees. You're here in Sacramento, Northern California. You'd moved here from New York, and we got introduced. And through the show, actually, Anna Strauss introduced us through the show. And, you know, I remember saying, hey, you want to come on the show? Sure. Well, let's talk about it. Where do you want to meet? At my office or your office? And we ended up meeting on the water. And that's when I fell in love. I'm like, Jordan, darling, is something special. You take investment? You're like, sure. You didn't even ask me for investment. I'm kind of like bringing it up to you. Anyway, so we hook up, and then you end up having this very successful transition into Nikola, and it only had 20 employees, which is kind of interesting that you kind of went into a company that's very early stage.
Very early stage, but they had a value of over $900 million. Yeah. So it was a very unique situation, and that's from the experience of Trevor starting other companies and selling them. He knew what he needed for the base of his company, and he leveraged outside resources to be able to build what he had at that point. Mm-hmm. So he knew that investing in a lot of payroll and a lot of people is expensive, and it's not as sustainable. So instead, he invested his money in having those key managers in place that could bring these products to market and hire the largest companies in the world, like Bosch and like other engineering firms, to be able to say, hey, we want to have the best of the best. Help us get from point A to point B. We can mm-hmm. do it faster. We can do it with saving time, saving money. And he did that. And at that point, it was pre-billion-dollar startup, but you could just tell when you talked to Trevor, when you met members of his team, that what they're truly trying to do is make the world a better place, and they're going to do that through transportation, whether that's semi-trucks, off-road vehicles, and now marine vehicles. It was truly something remarkable to see. And I sat down before we made this final decision with my board and said, hey, we put all the ideas on the table here. So pulled out a whiteboard, put the various opportunities, which was Company A, Company B, which was Nikola, mm-hmm. and then Opportunity C, which is stick with it, raise
it
the
alone.
Money,
yeah.
and go at it alone. And we started weighing the pros and the cons of it. It was clear that the opportunity in the middle was big. And if Nikola truly did well, the opportunity was going to be so much bigger for myself and the shareholders if we went with Nikola mm-hmm. than it was going my way. Yes, there would have been my own company. I would have been running it, would have been able to stay in Sacramento. But the opportunity was so big with Nikola that it was something we didn't want to pass up.
So you make the decision. Now you get stock in you get cash and you get stock in a private company. Your investors have stock in this private company. What's Nikola? What happens with? So you're the water sports division, right? So you had headed that up and 20 employees. You got to grow that and get that launched. You made the decision. Well, let's back up. What's the company look like today? So that, because I think it's a success story that's still emerging.
Yeah, so the company is much different today. As I said, started, I was the 21st employee at Nikola Motor Company. And today we're at north of 180 people. We've now relocated to Phoenix, Arizona. We have this beautiful state-of-the-art R&D headquarters just south of the airport in Phoenix. And just as of last week, we're officially at $3 billion.
Okay, $3 billion in worth?
$3 billion in worth. That's a pre-money valuation. We're currently raising $1 billion, which is our Series D round of funding. And this is the funds the company is using to build our manufacturing facility, bring our semi-trucks, our off-road vehicles, and our marine vehicles to market.
Yeah, and I saw that you're raising another $1 billion, which it'll give it a $4 billion valuation once all this is done?
Yeah, so when the rounds close later this year, the company will be valued at $4 billion. So
wow.
A big difference from when we started in 2017.
And where's the company going? So you guys are still in the early stages of going to market. You're going to go to market with your products and the trucks when?
So in the power sports business, we're going to market with the off-road vehicles in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
The semi-trucks, there'll be trucks on the road next year doing testing. And there'll be trucks in fleets' hands in 2022 and 2023.
And they're so valuable because nobody else is building these trucks. And your company's so valuable because nobody's building the zero emissions. I mean, I'm just thinking, like, how can a company be worth $4 billion? You guys, you know, the revenue doesn't support that.
Yeah, I mean, there's not cash in the bank from revenue, but we have, just in the semi-trucks alone, 14,000 pre-orders.
Okay.
So at about $1 million a lease, that's a few dollars.
Right.
And the big thing is the companies that are giving us this value, that are investing in Nikola, they understand what this company is doing. And this is one of, you know, one of maybe three or four companies in the world that is looking towards zero emission trucking, but no one is at the level that we are. And it's not just taking an existing freight liner and putting a battery in it or putting a hydrogen fuel cell in it. What Nikola has been doing for the last 4 years is electrifying and building these zero emission trucks, whether it's pure electric or hydrogen fuel cell electric, from the beginning. So the trucks are engineered holistically to be electric. And that's the difference in the leg up we have on all of these other companies, is because we're going to get the range targets that we're advertising. We're going to have a better overall experience for the drivers, the owners, the fleet managers, whatever that may be. And in the end, it's truly a zero emission solution to trucking.
Wow.
And to back all of that up, we are also building the entire fueling infrastructure for all of our trucks. So it's a very unique opportunity that Nikola has in front of us, is not only changing the world with zero emission vehicles, but also building all the infrastructure to support it.
Well, it's kind of an interesting play because, you know, you're spending all this time waiting and then you're going to launch. And I could see, what market share do you guys, I mean, I don't know if you guys thought about that yet, what kind of market share you might have if nobody else is doing it yet, because there's kind of a race to get there, because the trucks now, I mean, they're making a lot of noise. They're polluting the atmosphere, and it's just, it is what it is, the big diesels. And the jet skis and all that are polluting the water. And so, you know, if you're first to market and with an end-to-end solution, I have to imagine there's a way to sort of almost run the table.
Yeah, I mean, there definitely is. But for us, and it's just, it's everything in electrification, is it takes time. It's because the market needs to be educated.
Okay.
So there's a large opportunity in front of us, and there's a lot of big companies like Anheuser-Busch and others that said, yep, this is what we're looking for. We're trying to better our company with zero emissions. So they bought in 800 trucks to start. So there's companies that are already kind of ahead of the curve that understand that this is where they need to go with their business. But for what Nikola has to do, along with all of the other EVs in the world, is they have to educate the world on what an EV is, why it is so good, what are the advantages that it gives you. Yes, it's better for the environment. How is it better for the environment? And that's just going to take time. So we see it as, you know, that we're right in the right time right now for these trucks to market. The people that have kind of come in to date are the early adopters, or the people that are ahead of the curve. They understand that zero emissions is the future. They want to invest in it today. And as the market continues to evolve, and the rest of the automobiles, whether it's on-road, off-road, or marine vehicles, we see those areas that are much more primed for the readiness of electrification. So especially in the marine space. Off-road, we've definitely seen it, but marine's kind of been the one of the biggest opportunities for us, because people see the pollution there.
Yeah, it's easy to see. Well, okay, so who's the competition? You got these different areas. Your competition on the motorsports, is that the major jet ski manufacturers and motorcycle guys? And then on the electric trucks, I mean, I'm thinking Tesla and some of these companies are getting into this.
Yeah, on the power sports side of things, you have the mainstream power sport brands. You have Polaris, you have Bombardier, you have Kawasaki, you have Yamaha. All of those companies are playing in off-road. Some play in the marine space, but in the marine space, it's much, much fewer companies that play in that, just because it's a smaller market. But for us, the big boys are in the trucking space. Mm-hmm. So you have Tesla, who's making a battery electric semi truck, amongst other things. You have Daimler, who's released electric truck. You have Toyota, that's going to be bringing a fuel cell truck to market. Hyundai. There's some other companies in Europe, but for Nikola, we encourage it all. We want the whole goal is to make the world a zero emission future. So we encourage the other companies to innovate and invest those dollars into, because they got more money than we do. So the big thing with that is we're going to have the fueling infrastructure, and we don't care if it's a Nikola truck filling it up or it's a Toyota car filling it up. We're building the future of transportation through vehicles and infrastructure.
So Elon Musk, he's in the news all the time, and he has this eccentric risk-taking guy that kind of, I guess he doesn't care what other people think in many cases. Contrast a guy like Trevor, right? He's also this maverick in a way. How would you contrast the two as what you know Trevor really well. So how would you contrast these two founders?
Yeah, so in the startup world, you have to be different to stick out for sure. And I would say, you know, I don't know Elon personally. I've definitely obviously seen him in the news. I like his products, his vehicles. You know, I'm not a personal owner, but I have a lot of friends and colleagues that do own them, and they do love the vehicles. But for me, you know, what Tesla's done is they've kind of set the tone for the rest of us. You know, they were the maverick back in the early 2000s that said, hey, we're going to build electric cars. And all the big OEMs said, this guy's a joke. They're going to fail. And he kept pushing it through. Obviously, he had deep pockets. So he did what he wanted, didn't care what anyone had to say, said what he wanted to say,
Yeah. And
brought a company from this cool little Halo Tesla Roadster that he sold a couple thousand of to selling, you know, having one of the highest selling automobiles over Daimler and all the other big OEMs. So I got to give Elon some credit. Yes, he's different. Yes, he needs to get off of Twitter and other platforms. But, you know, entrepreneurs like that, they want to be able to share what they want to say, and they don't care what everyone has to think. And I'd say what's different about Trevor is he's definitely a humble guy, and he's an innovator. And like Elon, he doesn't really care what everyone else has to say, because he knows in his head what he wants to do. He knows that a lot of this stuff is impossible and wants to just figure it out. And what I like about it is, you know, there's definitely challenges in entrepreneurship. There's definitely challenges in changing the world. Like, no one else can do it. But he puts all that aside, and you'll have the best companies in the world saying, you can't do that. And he says, yes, we can. And what he does is he finds the people, whether it's within our company or other organizations, that he can get around him to be able to have that infrastructure and have that support to be able to do the impossible. And that's pretty cool to see.
Well, he brought you in as one of the first 20 to run the off-road side of things, or the what do you call that, the power sports side of things?
Business,
okay,
yeah.
So you got to work underneath him, and then you started building this out, and you made this decision to hire yourself a boss, which is, to me, I thought that was really interesting. How did that go down?
Yeah, so Trevor and I were talking early on, and what we were seeing is, okay, where we want to bring this power sports business. I'm obviously an entrepreneur. I have the entrepreneur background, but didn't have the experience running large companies. And Trevor knew that. I knew that. And, you know, he said, you know, I think the best thing going forward for you to grow as a person is to have someone above you that has this experience. Yeah, they're not going to be an entrepreneur like you are, but there'll be a balance between the entrepreneurship piece, which he wants to stay in the organization, and the more executive management level piece. So we found this unique guy, Michael Erickson, who was from the Polaris side of the world. So he worked at Polaris for almost 20 years. He worked in oil. He worked in various parts of the energy side of businesses, and had the experiencing running companies like this. Mm-hmm. And he had a management level role at Polaris, and he knew the power sports business as well. So we brought him in. But it was unique, one, working for someone else to start, Trevor, and two, now hiring your boss, or interviewing your boss.
How's he? Is he hard on you? How does he?
Yeah, I'm
don't
sure,
be hard on me.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll listen to this. But yeah, he likes to challenge me, likes to push me, likes to push my buttons. But you know, we get along well. I would consider him a friend.
Yeah.
So it's a unique spot. But the cool thing is, I'm still able to do what I want to do. I have the teams that we work with. I work with engineers. I work with designers. Work with finance people. I work with marketing people. So I work with them all. Mm-hmm. So it's still like, you know, you're running the place, but you just have other people to kind of have the checks and balances in place to say, hey, you know, hey, here's some recommendation, do this, do that. And for me, how I ran my company is much different than how a company that's worth $4 billion has to be run.
Mm-hmm.
If I see something, I just go do it. And I would say one of my flaws is I want everything done right, so I just do it myself. And what he's helped me realize is you can't do that, because you're going to run out of bandwidth. So whether it's someone needs to go replace the half shafts and the axles in the off-road vehicle, I just want it done right, so I go do it myself. He says, no, you're not supposed to be the mechanic. You need to run the business. So he's definitely helped me work on some of my quirks from the entrepreneurship side of things, where I just want to run everything myself.
So what's the vision? So as you look at this, you're a $4 billion company today. I'm invested into the company. Thanks to you. But what's going to happen with my investment? paint me a picture.
Yeah, I can't go into too much detail here. I'll be in prison. But what I can say is, you know, Nikola, it's just the beginning. So yeah. You referenced it earlier today that, you know, we're achieving a $4 billion valuation. We have zero revenue. Actually, that's a lie. We sold $12,000 worth of clothes earlier this year, so we're definitely no longer a pre-revenue startup.
Okay. I need to get in there and buy myself some Nicola stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So we have an online store, so if you want to rep the Nicola brand, you can go on there.
Okay, I'll do that.
So we're at $4 billion valuation today with zero revenue. So once we start delivering power sport vehicles, whether that's the NZT, the Reckless, which is our military vehicle, or the Wave, the personal watercraft, and then the semi-trucks, it's only going up from here. But as I said, the whole goal is to just build these vehicles that are truly the future of transportation. And that's the most exciting thing about it, because there's so many other companies doing it, massive multi-billion dollar companies, but no one has created what Nikola has. So all I can say is the future's looking bright. I'm definitely very excited to what Nikola has to hold. And there's going to be a lot of cool products both on the road, on the trails, and on the water here very soon.
Well, a lot of us wonder what it might be like to work in a unicorn, right? So we hear, what's this term, unicorn? They're companies worth $1 billion plus, and they're private still, which is unique. And, you know, a lot of these bigger companies end up going public. And with it being kind of a startup, I have to imagine there's kind of an interesting culture, right? Is it, are people, because people have options and all these kinds of things, that they're super motivated about what's going on. How would you describe the culture at Nikola?
So culture is key. There's a lot of other EV companies out there and startups in general that I would think struggle with the culture side of things. And that just makes working there that much harder. That makes raising money that much harder. That makes getting people to want to come work for you that much harder. And I think what Nikola's done, and this has been since the beginning, and this is part of the reason why I joined when I met the team and I met Trevor back in 2017, was they had a very unique culture. And what it was is, and we burn it into everyone's brains every time they start, is act as owners. As that's one piece of our company mojos, if you will.
There's 180 people. Is that so? People think that way around there.
They have to think that way. You know, act as an owner. Act as if every decision you make affects the company. And as if you're an owner, or if you could be an owner, think of how that would affect you if you were running this company. And it's a very unique way of doing things. How you spend money financially. I mean, we've done a lot with a little bit of money. We're raising $1 billion today, but prior to that, we only had $230 million. 50 to 100 employees during that time, and building semi-trucks and vehicles no one else in the world has built. And those vehicles are not cheap to build one-offs of. So we've invested a lot of money into things. And the biggest thing is we've been efficient in doing so, because those that have the ability to spend money within the company, those that are authorized to do so, are very, they put a lot of thought into it beforehand. They're not just out there blowing money on random things. But outside of that, the culture from us, the fitness center that we have a state-of-the-art fitness center within our office, so people can work out whenever they need to. They can stay healthy. If they need to go burn some steam, they can go, you know, pick up some weights and put some time in the gym. And the overall, if you just look at how the office is orchestrated, we don't have offices. We have this massive 170,000 square foot facility, and it's open floor plan. So myself, I sit next to the president, Michael, my counterpart in defense, Andy Christian, sits across from me. And then just behind us is all of the engineering team for Power Sports.
Yeah.
And above us is finance, HR, legal, all sitting together. So it's an open floor plan. You want to go talk to someone, you got a problem to work through. You don't have to send them an email. You don't have to set up a meeting. You just walk to the desk and talk through it. So we're able to do things much, much faster than all of our competition, because we don't have red tape stopping us. Yes, since the beginning of Nikola till today, there's structure in place to help us stay successful and not make mistakes as often as we could. So structure is good, but we don't have a lot of that red tape that stops us from innovating, that stops us from problem solving very effectively and fast. So it's a unique spot. And as I said, really the only thing that's different from pre-billion-dollar startup to today is the office is much nicer. We have a lot more tools at our disposal, but the culture, you can still see it. It's still there. There's still people. You're, you know, happy to see people. You see them in the hall. Hey, how's it going? You know people. People are excited to be there. People are passionate about what we're doing. You know, they're coming there every day and coming to work knowing that, hey, I'm a part of a company that is truly changing the world. And I think that just motivates people.
It's interesting, because you think about confidence, I think, as entrepreneurs. You never showed, when you were starting off your business, you never showed this lack of confidence. But as businesses that I've been around have grown, there's been these times in the founder, in my mindset, where I began to lose confidence. But you can't show that to your team. And I look look at Nikola and I wonder, okay, so you got this company that's no revenue or very, you know, almost no revenue. Your company was like that. And here you guys are sort of diversifying. You said your defense counterpart, and you've got the motorsports division, and you've got this big truck opportunity that's there. It's like, well, you guys are diversifying early in the game before the thing has really proven itself out. And how did you keep that confidence? How does Trevor do that? Because I'm just kind of amazed by that mentality, because I know how easy it is to doubt yourself. And that's when you're driving, even when you're driving sales.
Exactly. And the big thing for that, and it was just like with my company, is the technology and the people. So we have the confidence at Nikola because we're developing things that no one else in the world is developing, whether that's e-axle technology, which is the propulsion part of this vehicle, battery technology, which is the key part in EVs and hydrogen fuel cell vehicles, and the overall things that surround the rest of the vehicle, whether that's vehicle chassis, the suspension, body. There's so many things that make a vehicle what it is. And we have some of the best people in the world working on it. So those are valuable assets to Nikola, is these people, their know-how, their experience. So they're engineering these vehicles. So we have a leg up on everyone when it comes to the execution of the vehicle because it's done so well. We have technology. We have patents. So IP is a big thing at Nikola. Since we're one of the only companies charting down that territory or paving that way in electrification of trucks, hydrogen fuel cell trucks, electric off-road vehicles, electric marine vehicles. No one else is building vehicles of this caliber. So being the first one to do it, you're seeing a lot of opportunities to invent, a lot of opportunities to patent. So we're building up this large moat of IP around us. But at the same time, is we know inside at Nikola what we have. Is we have this culture, we have the right people, we have this technology, and we have speed to the competition. Yeah. So that's what keeps us fueled to keep moving forward and keep pushing, is we know that we're working 12, 15, 16-hour days where the rest of the guys are only working 8. So we're going to get a lot more done.
So you're still working those long hours, huh? I knew you were working. I mean, first time I met you, you said you were working 20 hours a day, and I'm like, wait a minute, I've never met anybody who works. It made me want to invest, I'm not going to lie. But you work 20 hours a day? That's impossible.
Yeah, no, I'm not working 20 hours a day anymore. But we still work long hours. You know, 8-hour days is not a thing for us. Is we work as long as we need to. Some days it's 12, some days it's 15, some days it's longer. But the big thing is keep pushing forward, because we know where the end is. We know what the goals are. We have our deadlines. We set milestones, so we do things what's called sprints, so you can feel that success as you're going through. Yeah, it's a long road ahead, and you know we got a couple of years before we get to the final delivery, but we set these sprints and these key milestones that as the team continues to work, they feel that sense of accomplishment, that okay, we made it, we're past that point, let's keep pushing forward. And they continue to do that, and it just we continue to push forward, we continue to innovate, and keep meeting those deadlines.
I love that metaphor of the sprints, and I sort of picture this company, 20 employees, now it's almost 200. It's going to a heck of a lot more at some point, obviously. And thinking about spreading the message, right, spreading the gospel of Nikola. Who is that? Is that the CEO that does that? Is that Trevor that does that? And does he create evangelists? I mean, how do you keep the... you know, the 15-hour, that startup mojo going.
Yeah, I mean, Trevor obviously is at the core of all of this, but he's empowered his people to do that as well. So whether that's Michael, whether that's myself, whether that's Andy, whether it's Mark, who's the president of the truck business, there's all of these people within the organization that have ownership over various teams. They've all been empowered to keep their teams energized. Do what you need to do to keep your people engaged. Do what you need to do to keep your people motivated to continue pushing forward and continue changing the world. So Trevor is very big on empowerment, and he believes in his people. He's very selective in his people, which is good, and that's why we're only at 180 employees today. We're not at thousands like other EV companies have gone to, and we do a lot with a little. Yes, it would be amazing right now to have 500 people, but it's a lot harder to find 500 rock stars than it is 180 rock stars. Sure. So for us, you know, we take it slow, but we want to hire the right people so we continue to empower them, keep that culture strong, and have the right people making the right decisions in the organization.
So thinking about entrepreneurs out there, you come from this technical background, right? You started this thing out of college, right? Your business.
Yeah.
And so it's the first business, and it does well. I mean, just advice to people that are sitting down here going, wait a minute, this is, how old are you?
27.
You're 27 years old, right? So you're 27 years old. You're going to college in New York. All of a sudden, you got something that you've identified as got value. Hey, I'm going to turn this into a business. I mean, advice to other people, because this is almost seems like a good too good to be true. I mean, would you advise other people to take this route?
Absolutely. I mean, entrepreneurship, as I said previously, was on the show with you, Mark, is definitely a risk, and it's not for everybody. But if you're going to do it, do it with the passion and do it with the goal of making something better. And for us, and everything at Nikola is we're doing something to change the world. And that's what I'd recommend to a lot of entrepreneurs. There's obviously plenty of opportunities out there to make cool projects, cool little gadgets, other types of companies. But see if there's an opportunity to create and build something that's going to make an impact on the world. And whether that's in vehicles, whether that's in medical devices, whether that's helping veterans, whether that's making a product that makes someone's life better. I think that's where, if someone wants to get into something and they're not fit for working for someone else and just getting a regular 9-to-5 job, is try to create something that changes the world. Try to create something that makes the world a better place. And it's cool for me and cool for the Nikola team to be a part of something that is doing that. And it's not about the money. It's not about the salary. Working in a startup, you don't work there to get a high salary. You work there because you're part of something that is truly remarkable. You're part of something that, every day you get up and you go to work and there's a new challenge in front of you, whether it's, how to make this product or how to overcome this issue that we have with this partner or this supplier. And for us, it's always something new. It's always something different. But in the end, goal is we're changing the world for what everyone's going to know going forward.
Jordan Darling, if you don't like Jordan Darling, you are not, you don't like entrepreneurship. I'm telling you, this guy is special. Obviously, he shared his story today. Jordan, thank you for everything. I've learned a lot from you. I continue to learn from you, but I'm amazed. Thanks for sharing this with Sacramento.
Thank you, Mark.
You bet.